This is a weekly roundup of the John Lothian News Daily Update for the week of December 7th, 2020.
This is John Lothian with the Daily Update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian Newsletter for December 7th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. Below is a write-up from the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards event held last week. The event was fun, entertaining, and moving in stories about the Scouts. I encourage you to watch the video and make a donation if you are so moved. The debate happened on Sunday night between Senator Kelly Loeffler and her opponent, Reverend Raphael Warnock. It was not much of a debate as debates go. It is safe to say Senator Loeffler was not on her high school's debate team. The election is meaningful and entertaining. Senator Loeffler used Attila the Hun in a commercial and a political action committee opposing her, and fellow Senator David Perdue gave them the Grinch treatment in a political video. Both of them are repped for their trading of stocks during the pandemic. You can forget about the Christmas cruise on Carnival Cruise Lines. They have canceled all cruises until February 2021. The U.S. recorded more than 10,000 deaths from COVID-19 over a four-day period. We have had no new donations to our JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign in a few days. Help support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Among other announcements, Intercontinental Exchange today announced that its board of directors has elected Chantella Shand Cooper and Mark Mulhern as new directors effective December 4th, 2020. The elections increased the ICE board of directors to 14 members, including 5 women and 9 men, Sarah Rudolph reported. Grayscale Investments saw all-time highs in trading volume for its two SEC-regulated cryptocurrency funds, the Grayscale Bitcoin Investment Trust, GBTC, and the Grayscale Ethereum Investment Trust, ETHE, in November, Matt Rabel reports. The House of Representatives last week passed legislation to decriminalize cannabis on a federal level, removing it from the U.S. Controlled Substances Act by a 228-164 vote. The bill is not expected to pass the Republican-controlled Senate, but the House vote is another step forward in the slow march towards federal legalization of marijuana. For a unique take on the process, see Friday's Pan Exchange blog post on the subject, Suzanne Cosgrove reported. Here are some more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Here's the story I wrote about the LaSalle Street Dinner. The LaSalle Street Dinner, the LaSalle Street After Hours Affair, the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards. Those are all the derivations of 49 years of the Chicago Financial District congregating together to raise funds for scouting in Chicago. Last night, the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards event became a virtual event, and the participants gathered on Zoom to celebrate the industry's support of scouting. You can see the video on johnlothiannews.com. Also, this week on The Spread, SoftBank ditches a controversial options investment, the CME becomes the new king of Bitcoin derivatives, and more. Matt Rabel's The Spread. Watch it on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Reuters. Fact checked, RFID microchips will not be injected with the COVID-19 vaccine. Altered video features Bill and Melinda Gates and Jack Ma. A video shared over 27,100 times on Facebook implies that the COVID-19 vaccine will contain a tracking microchip that will be injected in individuals that receive the COVID-19 vaccine once it is ready. This is false. My comment, if an RFID microchip is good enough for my dog. Here are the top 3 most read stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was JLN's FIA Asia V, Our Data and Technology, the New Drivers for the Business by Jeff Bergstrom. Second was our Markets Wiki page on Tim Gitz of Quantitative Brokers. Third was the Wall Street Journal's Future of London Finance at Stake in Brexit Fight.
This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for December 8th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. And now a note from John Lothian. Look for news today about a group of data providers with a letter to the CFTC and key legislators about the CME Group's adding a fee for historic data. It is directly related to the lead story today from EDI. The CME will award the CME Group MSRI Prize in Innovative Quantitative Applications to Stanford University Economics Professor Susan Athey on December 11th at 10 Central Time at a virtual event. The first Englishman to receive a shot of the vaccine for COVID-19 was named William Shakespeare. You can't make this stuff up. 7 years ago yesterday, John Lothian News published its first special report about Bitcoin titled A Bitcoin for Your Thoughts. There is a story on Huffington Post that Senator Kelly Loeffler's repetition of the phrase radical liberal to describe her election opponent, Reverend Raphael Warnock, during their Sunday evening debate on CNN sparked a drinking game. Unfortunately, she said the phrase so many times that all the participants died from alcohol poisoning. She repeated the phrase so many times even a Fox News host mocked her for it. Don't forget to bid on the Futures for Kids auction. Instead of the IDX Gala auction, here is a virtual one at the holidays. There were two new donors to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign, Adam Minnick and Paul Cusenza. Adam Minnick is a director of corporate strategy at the CME Group. Paul Cusenza is a chairman and CEO of Nodal Exchange and Nodal Clear. Thank you to Adam and Paul and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. From John Lothian. Now a note from Sarah Rudolph. Aventus Systems and ADAM are holding a webinar on Wednesday, December 9th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on digital assets marketing trade surveillance. The webinar will explore how trade surveillance impacts the digital assets industry in gaining widespread institutional acceptance. Speakers are Michael Bond from ADAM and Travis Schwab from Aventus. The areas covered will include introduction to Michael Bond, ADAM's mission and membership, highlights of ADAM's code of conduct and how it originated, timing for approval of Bitcoin ETF, ADAM's position on becoming a self-regulated organization, rules that impact industry participants, looking ahead into 2021, the impact of the new administration on digital asset legislation. There's a link in the article to register. Another note from Sarah Rudolph. The Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation has acquired Serpient's platform for compliance management reporting and plans to integrate CMRS and DTCC Report Hub to enable firms to manage pre- and post-reporting processes. DTCC says it will create the industry's most comprehensive pre- and post-trade reporting solution. An article from Andrew Edgecliff Johnson of FT. Pope Francis gives his blessing to Council for Inclusion Capitalism. Alliance marks an embrace of big business and finance by the Vatican. Pope Francis is giving his blessing to a coalition of large investors, companies, unions, and foundations that are pledging to make capitalism less socially and environmentally damaging. The Vatican will on Tuesday lend its name to the Council for Inclusive Capitalism, whose members must commit to measurable action to create a more equitable and trusted economic system, including adherence to the UN Sustainable Development Goals. A comment by John Lothian. A blessing from the Pope is always a good thing, except for things like crusades. An article from Claire Barrett from FT. Could your child be recruited as a money mule? Huge rise in online fraud sees criminals target students to spirit away the proceeds. Would you like to make some extra money working from home? If you're young, gifted, and broke, the ping of a social media message offering the chance to make some day cash could be tempting. A comment by John Lothian. My kids would be more money giraffes. An article from Casey Tolan and Kurt Devine of CNN. Florida police raid home of former state COVID-19 data scientist. Florida police raided the home of a former state coronavirus data scientist on Monday, escalating a feud between the state government and the data expert who has accused officials of trying to cover up the extent of the pandemic. A comment by John Lothian: this is just wrong on so many levels. Whoever ordered this should be fired or impeached. There's no reason to be waving guns in front of children or having guns out at all except for sending a message of intimidation. An article by Greg Sargent of the Washington Post. Kelly Loeffler disqualified herself on Sunday night's debate. Of all the vile ways that Republicans have sought to justify President Trump's efforts to overturn his election loss, one of the worst is the ubiquitous claim that Trump is merely pursuing his legal right to contest the results. A note from John Lothian: the argument is not that she is supporting President Trump's legal means for contesting the results of the election, but that she is supporting extra legal means. And now, Monday's top three. Our top story Monday was FCA Market Oversight Director named CEO of London Stock Exchange from the Trade News about LSE's new leader, Julia Hoggett. Second was the Bloomberg opinion piece, "Should you use investing apps like Robinhood?" Third was JLN's "An Evening Supporting Scouts Comes in Many Different Names" by John Lothian.
This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for December 9th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. OCC CEO John Davidson is the latest donor to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Davidson is a derivatives clearing veteran who has emerged as an industry thought leader at the revamped OCC. Thank you to John and all who have given and all those who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Today we have a video for the Path to Electronic Trading series featuring CQG's Kevin Darby. I first met Kevin when he was at Blue Trading Systems and was a client of Jessica Darmani. Darby is a good example of someone who came into the industry at a time when open outcry was still vibrant, but electronic trading was ascendant. The opportunities for Kevin were not in standing in a trading pit, but in developing software to trade the electronic markets. His development of an electronic eye to identify mispriced bids or offers, combined with CBOE moving the raise order flow to CBOE Direct, created the profits and the opportunity for him to become a partner in Blue Capital Group. When the firm closed up, they sold the technology BCG had to Darby and others who formed Blue Trading Systems. Eventually, BTS was sold to CQG, and Darby went with the technology. You will like Kevin's story. It is ICE Chairman and CEO Jeff Sprecher's day in the barrel at HuffPost with a story titled, "Senator Kelly Loeffler's husband bought stock in sectors set to benefit from then-secret bill." One would hope that someone of stature at ICE and knowledge of Jeff's investing would write an op-ed defending him, but then I think the strategy is probably to keep ICE and NYSE out of the Georgia Senate race. Quantitative Brokers put out a press release naming Timothy Gitz as Chief Sales Officer. That had previously been reported here in JLN. Director of Commodity Research and Product Development Jim Sullivan at the CME Group has published a research piece titled, "How COVID-19 Impacted Beef Markets in 2020. The Chicago Tribune is reporting that the state of Indiana has the second highest per capita COVID-19 spread, the CDC says. This would be the state from which Vice President Pence and head of the White House Coronavirus Task Force is from. Amazing how that worked out. The headline of the day comes from the New York Times about Uber selling its self-driving car business. The headline is "Uber Jettisons Flying Car Project." That is worth four woofs from the Jetsons dog Astro. Germany's Bankhaus Vanderheide, one of the world's oldest banks, is working on issuing a euro-based stablecoin on the Stellar network with digital asset tech firm Bitbond, Matt Rabel reports. Coinbase UK reported a 22% decrease in profit from 2019, It's also probably didn't help that the UK's FCA has not exactly shown warm sentiment to the cryptocurrency and the blockchain space lately, Matt Rabel also reports. The OIC is hosting a webinar today at 3:30 Central Time titled The Greeks Delta and Gamma. As you might have guessed, the webinar will focus heavily on discussing Delta and Gamma with respect to option trading, as well as Gamma scalping and the Iron Condor strategy, Matt Rabel reports. Holly Duran Real Estate Partners LLC, a boutique commercial real estate services firm headquartered in Chicago, has joined Colliers International Chicago, announced by Jim Karas, Executive Managing Director and Market Leader. The firm is led by one of the most influential and successful women in the industry today, Holly Duran, who will serve as Principal and Financial Services Lead for the Global Brokerage's local office. In addition, Duran's brokerage partners have also joined the firm, with Jeff Mulder serving as Executive Vice President and Lois Durkin and Jeff Newcomb serving as Senior Vice Presidents, with Colliers Occupier Services Group based in the firm's downtown office. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. This is from Bloomberg. The psychological formula for success after 50. Grit is the secret ingredient for an exceptional third act. Julia Child launched The French Chef on TV at 50, a year after publishing Mastering the Art of French Cooking. Ray Kroc began franchising McDonald's at 52. Estelle Getty landed her breakout role on Broadway at age 58, then in her 60s racked up 7 back-to-back Emmy nominations for The Golden Girls. These are all clearly exceptional third acts, but even if your aim is something more modest, you're likelier to get there if you understand how the psychological formula for achievement shifts as you age. There's one thing I have, it is grit. Grits are another thing. Never really liked them. Here's a story from Bloomberg as well. Fidelity had locker room culture, ex-employee says in lawsuit. She alleges a male colleague lampooned her pregnancy. Hostile work environment described in New Hampshire office. A former Fidelity Investments employee claims she was taunted by 2 male colleagues who openly made offensive remarks about her pregnancy, race, women's bodies, and slavery. It'd be nice for a firm like Fidelity to have employees that live up to its name. Here's also another story from Bloomberg. Lessons from the pandemic. Tips from 8 productive people. The combination of working at home, juggling childcare, and pivoting entire business plans on short notice because of the coronavirus outbreak has forced us all to learn new tricks. Here are skills some productive people have picked up this year. Lesson number 1 should be get out of bed. But then again, why? Here is a Crain's Chicago business story by Danny Ecker. Colliers acquires veteran CBOE CME real estate reps firm. Longtime financial sector tenant rep Holly Duran has sold her boutique brokerage after a 16-year run. The longtime real estate advisor for the Chicago Board Options Exchange and Chicago Mercantile Exchange has sold her boutique brokerage to Colliers International Chicago. For the record, JJLCO was a Holly Duran client when we rented space in the Chicago Board of Trade building. Here are the top 3 most read stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story on Tuesday was about challenger data provider Exchange Data International. EDI challenges new CME fees as anti-competitive and illegal. EDI wrote to the CFTC, the heads of relevant committees of the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, requesting they investigate the CME Group's plan to charge for what had been a no-service fee. Coming in second was the Washington Post account of Kelly Loeffler's performance in Sunday's debate in Georgia. Kelly Loeffler disqualified herself at Sunday night's debate. And third was the Financial Times story, Russian oligarch's son racked up $50 million in day trading losses, about a Russian oligarch's son's massive trading losses while he was a student. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for December 10th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with the hits and take section. CBOE Global Markets announced yesterday the retirement of Chief Marketing and Communications Officer Carol Kennedy. Carol has been a steady hand at the CBOE for 27 years through all the market and company changes, including the retirement of former Chairman and CEO Bill Brodsky and the elevation of now Chairman and CEO Ed Tilley. Stacy Fleming has been named as Carol's replacement. On behalf of JLN, we want to thank Carol for her years of service, and we want to congratulate Stacy on her new role. Her international experience will work well with a CBOE that is now CBOE Global Markets. ICE Data Pricing and Reference Data LLC, or PRD, was subject to a SEC cease and desist order. As a result of the order, the cease and desist order requires, among other things, PRD to cease and desist from committing or causing any violations and any further violations of Section 206(4) of the Investment Advisors Act of 1940 and Rule 206(4-7) thereunder. Additionally, Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., or ICE, has submitted a letter dated December 4, 2020, constituting an application for relief from ICE being considered an, quote, ineligible issuer, quote, under Clause 1(6) of the definition of ineligible issuer of in Rule 405 of the Securities Act of 1933, Securities Act. ICE requests relief from being considered an ineligible issuer under Rule 405 due to the entry on December 9, 2020 of administrative and cease and desist proceedings against ICE Data Pricing and Reference Data LLC, a subsidiary of ICE, according to an SEC press release. Steve Crutchfield was the latest donor to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Steve is a longtime JLN friend from back in his days at NYSE Euronext. He is now the head of market structure and underlying market making at CTC. He gave one of the most brilliant MarketsWiki education talks several years back about how to design an options trading strategy in 10 minutes. Thank you to Steve and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Thank you to Chris Haymeyer for making a donation to the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards event. Thank you to all the donors who gave, including the Board of Trade Charitable Foundation, CME Group, CBOE Global Markets, CQG, FGMK, NFA, ABN AMRO Clearing Chicago, and Joe Guinan and Advantage Futures. And of course, thank you again to Pat Kenny for being the most interesting event chairman. If you are interested in still donating, you can find out more information at a link in today's newsletter. A cryptocurrency protocol founder who went by the pseudonym Bruno Brock has been busted by the U.S. Southern District Court of New York, the IRS, and the SEC. Bruno, real name Amir Bruno Elmani, allegedly raised millions on a cryptocurrency startup called Oyster Pearl, then spent the money on various personal luxuries, including multiple yachts, in which he stored gold bars. I get the sense Mr. Elmani has probably seen The Wolf of Wall Street and possibly desired to emulate it. Shame he apparently didn't see how it ends, Matt Rabel reports. The Investment Advisor Association Active Managers Council is hosting an online discussion on ESG investing and implementation today, December 10th at 10 a.m. Central Time. Scheduled topics include the 2021 outlook and the importance of an active process when investing in ESG. More details and registration information is available in today's newsletter, Suzanne Cosgrove reports. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's the press release announcement from the CBOE about Carol Kennedy stepping down. CBOE Global Markets announced planned retirement of Chief Marketing and Communications Officer, appoints successor, Carol Kennedy, Chief Marketing and Communications Officer, to retire after 27 years with company. Stacy Fleming, Vice President, Marketing and Communications, to succeed Kennedy. CBOE Global Markets, Inc., a market operator and global trading solutions provider, today announced the planned retirement of Carol Kennedy, Chief Marketing and Communications Officer, after 27 years of service to the company, on December 31, 2020. CBOE plans to promote Stacy Fleming, current Vice President, Marketing and Communications, and former Head of Marketing and Communications for CBOE Europe, to Senior Vice President, Marketing and Communications, effective January 1, 2021. My comment, Carol and I first met in Bergenstock at the Swiss Futures and Options Association conference there in 2004, the first year I attended. Classic story of having to go halfway around the world to meet someone who worked in the building next door. MIAX and MGEX announced Spikes Futures December 14th relaunch. Miami's International Securities Exchange, LLC, MIAX, and the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, MGEX, today announced the planned December 14th relaunch of futures on the Spikes Index on MGEX via the CME Globex platform. Here is some competition in the vol space. I would like to remind my friends at the CBOE that competition is good for the market, and it is the market that we serve. Here's a story from The Trade. U.S. authorities urge to investigate, quote, illegal, unquote, changes to CME market data fee policies. EDI has called on the CFTC, House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate to investigate fee changes at the CME Group that would increase costs each year for the firm. Data distributor Exchange Data International, EDI, has urged regulators in the U.S. to investigate Derivatives Exchange CME Group's proposed changes to its data fee policies. Under the changes to fees, CME Group intends to charge redistributors like EDI a total of $120,000 per year from 2021 for redistribution of data across each of its four markets. Here is the Trade's follow-up story on the EDI press release that was the most popular story in JLN a couple of days ago. Here is a story, or actually an editorial, from the Washington Post. The danger is growing that Trump's lies about the election will lead to violence. President Trump's lying about the election has become dangerous, and not just in the sense that it damages democratic norms. It also increasingly threatens to spur physical violence against Americans who have done their duty to oversee a free and fair vote. My comment, blessed are those who are trying to lower the political temperatures. Here are the top three most read story from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story for Wednesday was the self-help article, Tips for Finding Career Success After Age 50, from Bloomberg Businessweek. Second was Yahoo's report on Jeffrey Sprecher, Senator Kelly Loeffler's husband bought stock in sectors set to benefit from then-secret bill. And third was a new entry in John Lothian's interview series, Kevin Darby, The Path to Electronic Trading, from MarketsWiki Education. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for December 11, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section of JLN. CFTC Chairman Heath Tarbert yesterday announced he is stepping down in an understated press release titled statement of Chairman Heath P. Tarbert announcing his future plans. However, so as not to let him leave without a flourish of that media wokeness that surrounded his tenure, the CFTC included a video set to music to make a greater statement about his leaving. It was not quite the Chris Giancarlo Kaiser Sosa exit pretending to be Satoshi Nakamoto, but it was fitting for Chairman Tarbert. You can see the video in today's newsletter. I want to thank Chairman Tarbert for his service and all that he accomplished. The speed with which he had his commission plow through the various outstanding issues was impressive. And of course, there are the record-setting fines assessed during his tenure. I will have more to say on Chairman Tarbert's tenure in a later commentary. On Monday, the CFTC's Technology Advisory Committee, of which I am a member, will meet under the leadership of Commissioner Brian Quintenz. This is probably the last time Quintenz will lead the meeting, as he has also announced he is leaving the CFTC. The agenda for the meeting was announced yesterday. You can see a link for it in today's JLN. Thank you to Commissioner Quintenz for his leadership of the TAC and his tenure at the CFTC. It has been a pleasure to work with him. The Trading Charity Act and Help campaign at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange brought in a record amount of donations as Deutsche Börse and nine trading houses donated 166,000 euros to nonprofit organizations, including the banks donating 66,000 euros to Help for Children with Cancer Frankfurt EV and the Association for the Promotion of Youth Welfare and Adult Education at EV. Deutsche Börse donated a total of 100,000 euros to the Frankfurter Tafel and Make-A-Wish, Germany. Speaking of Germany, Donald Trump was labeled, quote, loser of the year, unquote, by Europe's biggest news magazine, Newsweek, reported. The German magazine Der Spiegel delivered a withering assessment of President Donald Trump's 2020 in an article headlined, The Loser of the Year. Here is a way to keep up on FIA Japan. Follow their LinkedIn page. I followed today on an invitation from FIA Japan's Tony Crane. We had three new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Tony McCormick of Box, Robert Moore of Marquette Partners, and Jennifer Nayer of Vela all gave to our campaign to preserve industry history. Tony McCormick is a friend of JLN who has played many roles in the industry, including at Schwab and at Box. He is now the head of Box Exchange LLC, having previously served as the CEO of Box Options Markets LLC. Rob Moore is a friend of JLN, veteran trader, and general partner of Marquette Partners, an international liquidity provider to exchange-traded markets. Marquette Partners has been a loyal, friend-level sponsor of MarketsWiki. We interviewed Rob back in 2011 for our History of Financial Futures project that helped spawn our history preservation efforts. Jennifer Nayer is the CEO of Vela and one of the highest profile female technology leaders in the industry. Her resume features impressive stops at Ready Global Technologies, NYSE Euronext, NYFIX, Omgeo, Mercator, formerly Braid, Thomson ESG, and the London Stock Exchange. Vela is also a loyal, friend-level MarketsWiki sponsor. Thank you to Tony, Rob, and Jennifer, and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. The CME Group is hosting a virtual invitation-only seminar today, Suzanne Cosgrove reports, honoring Professor Susan Athey, Economics of Technology Professor at Stanford Graduate School of Business, this year's winner of the CME MSRI Prize in Innovative Quantitative Applications. More information on Athey can be found in today's newsletter. Today is the five-year anniversary of the American Financial Exchange, AFX, an electronic exchange that facilitates direct lending and borrowing for banks and financial institutions. AFX also calculates Ameribor, a market-based interest rate benchmark that serves as an alternative to LIBOR, Suzanne Cosgrove reported. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's the press release from the CFTC announcing the departure in early 2021 of Chairman Tarbert. Statement of Chairman Heath P. Tarbert announcing his future plans. It has been a great honor to serve the American people as the 14th chairman and chief executive of the CFTC, as well as one of the agency's five commissioners. Leading the men and women of the CFTC these last 17 months has been an extraordinary privilege, but like all good things, it must come to an end. Today, I am announcing that I intend to resign my position as chairman early next year. My comment is, what are his future plans? Here is a press release from the FIA thanking Chairman Tarbert. FIA thanks Chairman Heath Tarbert for his service. FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan made the following statement on the announcement today by CFTC Chairman Heath Tarbert. My comment, there's nothing like good old Indiana manners from FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan. Here's an editorial from the Financial Times. Standing on the edge of the Brexit precipice, a no-deal outcome will hurt Britain more than the EU. The Brexit clock is ticking towards midnight, 3 weeks before the UK's transition period end. The mood in talks on a future EU trade deal is bleak, a no-deal outcome on top of a pandemic that has taken a grim toll of lives and livelihoods would be a failure of statecraft with grave economic consequences. The harm would be worse than for Britain, given the proportion of its trade that goes to the EU, but EU members would be damaged too. Any last chance of a deal will depend on a preparedness by both sides not to just compromise, but to understand each other better. My comment, I've never been a fan of Brexit. I respect the rights of people to make decisions for themselves. Maybe they should do that again. Here's a story from the Financial Times. What will Britain be without pubs? Publicans are facing financial ruin and being forced to dismantle inch by inch everything that makes us hospitable. Samuel Johnson defined hospitality as, quote, the practice of entertaining strangers, unquote. At a coaching inn near Chipping Norton, he remarked to his friend and biographer James Boswell, there is nothing which has yet been contrived by man which so much happiness is produced as by a good tavern or inn. My comment, I can't even imagine. Here's a story from Bloomberg. China authorities detain Bloomberg News Beijing staff member. Chinese authorities have detained Haas Fan, who worked for the Bloomberg News Bureau in Beijing, on suspicion of endangering national security. Fan was last seen in contact with one of her editors around 11:30 a.m. local time on Monday. Shortly after, she was seen being escorted from her apartment building by plainclothes security officials. My comment, this is not acceptable. Here is the press release from Deutsche Börse about their trading charity. Trading charity at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange brings a record amount of donations. Deutsche Börse and Securities Trading Banks donate 166,000 euros to nonprofit organizations. Deutsche Börse and the Security Trading Banks, or specialists active on the Frankfurt trading floor, have reached a record donation amount of 166,000 euros at this year's trading charity. With the Trading Charity Act and Help campaign, the exchange operator and the nine trading houses support a total of four non-profit organizations. Nice work from my friends at Germany. Here's a story from Fox News. Walt Disney World will digitally add masks to guests not wearing them in ride photos. If you visit Walt Disney World, you'll be wearing a mask one way or another. Disney World has allegedly updated how it handles people not wearing masks on rides by digitally adding the facial covering to rogue guests in the photos that can be purchased afterwards. My comment, it's a true cover-up. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was the trade's U.S. authorities urged to investigate, quote, illegal, unquote, changes to CME market data fee policies about the data distributor Exchange Data International asking U.S. regulators to look into CME Group's proposed changes. Second was Bloomberg's Citi trial shows chain of gaffes leading to $900 million blunder. That is quite a chain of gaffes. Third was the SEC's cease and desist order for ICE Data Pricing and Reference Data, LLC, requiring PRD to stop committing or causing any violations and any future violations of Section 206(4) of the Investment Advisors Act of 1940 and Rule 206(4-7) thereunder. Our Crypto Markets Wiki coin of the week is Paxos. Paxos has filed an application with the Office of the Comptroller of Currency to become a cryptocurrency custodian. If the application is accepted, the bank, which would operate out of New York, would be regulated at both the state and federal levels. Here are your Markets Wiki statistics of the day. The site now has 194,780,697 pages viewed, with 24,692 pages. There have been 227,273 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.